And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Mexa.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup coming your way here live at the Day of the Docks in San Diego, right at the landings here in Point Loma. Certainly an awesome day, and boy, what a difference in 1 hour this whole thing has gotten set up around us, and it is going to be an awesome day today. Perfect weather for Day at the Docks, and what a fun, free event. Great spot to come down and take the whole family. Lots going on today. Boat rides, and you get to check out all the boats, and great vendors here in the parking lot, and a great place to come and enjoy a seminar and have a great time, and we would love to see you down here today. Lots of great fun, and we're having lots of fun here in the mobile studio today. Steve Carson joining us for the first hour here and going to hang for another couple of minutes with us, and we sure appreciate that, answering all kinds of questions before he gets back to his booth in full duty. But, boy, lots going on here at Day at the Docks, and we would love to have you come down here. If you want to come down, ask a question, step up to the microphone. You can see either Dave or the cowboy here outside in the audience. They'll be taking your questions, and we'd love to hear from you on the microphone. Or you can give us a call. Two ways to reach us on Let's Talk Hookup. First is our local line, which is 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090 or toll free at 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. And also joining us right now is the man that's very used to this type of setting, and that's Bart Hall. Bart, you're wearing a different hat while you're down here today, huh?
I like this hat. This hat's a lot easier to wear. A
lot less questions when you're wearing this hat.
I like it a lot.
Now, you're here on behalf of the CCA today, is that right?
Yes, the Coastal Conservation Association of California, CCA Cal, and we started that program up at Long Beach, continued at Del Mar, and now we're going to continue it. The first chapter, we have a state organization, but that the organization is built on local chapters, so the first local chapter is going to be in San Diego. So we're going to take this opportunity to try to sign up more members to help start CCA Cal.
That's awesome. And now I know there was a big push, big membership drive for both Long Beach and Del Mar. And overall, was it a success? What did the guys from CCA think of us in California?
They thought it was a success. Me, I have much higher standards, and as far as I'm concerned, we got a long way to go. See, I've been fighting this thing for a long time with different organizations, as everybody knows, and I just because we have the marine closures in place now doesn't mean it's over. As a matter of fact, that's just the start. I'm getting older. I'm not going to be able to see what's coming in the future, but my kids and grandkids are going to be here, and all of ours are. And we need an organization that is going to be proactive out in front. And the nice thing about the CCA has been they've been around 37 years. They're a national organization. They have six-figure numbers of people. They got about 120,000 solid members. And that's growing exponentially as we speak. So we're really looking forward to this organization taking roots here, being able to respond, being able to get out in front of the problems, and being able to generate some activity. Because if you know how easy it is to say, "Gosh, we got to save the oceans.
Sure.
Let's close them down." Well, that's a pretty simple and stupid answer, but it sounds good to somebody who doesn't know anything. So you need an organization that's going to speak for anglers, that's going to allow them access to the places that they want to fish, and is going to make sure that they're always able to fish. So.
And for an inexpensive sign-up fee, you can be doing your part for a yearly membership, and you can sign up for CCA today, right now at Day of the Docks.
Yeah, the membership today is $30. Now, I'm on a mission to get I'm here today to get 100 lifetime members. So that's $1,000. So that's my goal here today.
All right.
I don't think I'll make that goal, but that's what we want to do. We want to have lifetime members, because all of that money stays here in the state organization, except for the $30 that goes to the national. And we're, you know, we've got a really good start, and we've got a lot of people who did. We have a lot of lifetime members already signed up. But for $30, you can become a regular member
awesome.
And start the San Diego chapter, and you guys direct it. You know, you guys say this is how it's going to go. This is what we're concerned about.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah.
We certainly appreciate it, and I'm certainly glad to see you here. And I'm glad to hear that things were off to such a successful start, and I'm with you. No matter how good it is, we shouldn't satisfy for it. We should always want every person that fishes and every person that's into fishing that's listening to this radio show should be a CCA member because it's the voice for all of us.
Yes, I agree. And, we know it's hard to get fishermen to respond to these messages. Their eyes glaze over. I can see in some of the audience, they're kind of looking around. But if the hunters, you say that, they're going to take my guns away. Let's go in there, and they'll do it. You know, we kind of like, nobody's going to take away fishing, right? But they are.
Right.
They are going to take it away.
Let me say one good thing about CCA for people that maybe not have heard of them before compared to other similar organizations that have been in California over the years. CCA is not new. They've been around for a long time. They have a proven track record better than any other organization for engaging on federal issues.
Okay.
And as we have certainly found out mostly the hard way in recent years, most of these issues really are federal issues. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife has little, if anything, to do with it. In fact, whatever the feds tell them to do, they pretty much just go along with it. So if you have an organization that, you know, it's a skill that can deal with the federal government and their bureaucracy and knows how to do it and knows how to win, that's who you want to be aligned with.
That's it. No doubt about that. Well, I certainly appreciate it, Bart, and I hope you get your goal today. I hope we get 100 lifetime members just today. Well, hey, we're going to have another stand-up microphone question. Libby from Imperial Beach. Libby, you still standing by this morning? I don't see Libby standing by. So how about Chris from IB? Chris might have started walking to check out the show. How about Greg? Greg Martinez? Greg, come on up to the stand-up microphone here. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Hey, Steve. Matt sent his best, as well as his mom. I don't know. I haven't seen her yet. So, but actually, my question was for you, Steve. I'm really into surf fishing, and I've seen in catalogs that get sent to your home and all that, the Penn surf rods. Can you tell me the difference between one that's just a straight blank compared to the ones that are break apart and more portable? Is that better or?
Well, being an old time, I'm afraid to say how old time, surface iron fisherman, there is nothing quite like a one-piece long rod, 9 feet, 10 feet, even longer. I mean, you know what? There's nothing like it. I don't care what any of the rod companies say. Nobody's multi-piece rod is as good as their one-piece rod. However, only a few crazy people like me take a 10-foot surface iron rod to the car dealership when they're buying a car to make sure that it's going to fit. I mean, and that's the short version. In general, if you're gonna say, well, I can compromise, I can have a two piece rod versus a three. Again, some kind of rod is better than none.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about 12-foot rods, even a two piece version can be a lot to deal with, a lot to store, a lot to travel with. But if you can get by with just a two piece rod and have the ferrule be slightly off center, slightly more down towards the butt, so that the butt section is a little bit shorter and the tip section is a little bit longer, so that the ferrule, that's where the two pieces come together, is a little bit closer to the handle. That's a little better, but I'm not going to tell you that a multi-piece rod is as good as a one-piece rod. It's not. However, on a practical basis in the real world, when you're talking about 10, 12-foot rods, you got to have a multi-piece. That's just the way it is.
Most definitely. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Awesome. Appreciate the question very much. Hey, well, with that, we're going to go live now on the water all the way down to the Hurricane Bank. We got Pete standing by live on the Royal Star. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, Steve. How's day after talks going?
Oh, you're missing a great one, man. We're having a great time. Lots of great setup going on right now. Good questions. We're having a great time, but I have a weird feeling times are even better aboard the Royal Star right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, I wish I could be there, but not really. I'm really glad to be aboard the Royal Star right now. And, we had a little better bite this morning. We had kind of a slow afternoon, late morning after I talked to you yesterday, real slow midday, and then a little pick in the evening, but not much. I ended up hitting one on a kite yesterday evening, like 130, 140, a few more kite fish, but it was pretty slim pickings the rest of the day. Been pretty much a morning bite. Right now, I'm seeing two guys with fish bent. Mike Hine has been red hot this morning on the sardine. He's got another one on. And Turbo, of course, got just hooked up on the kite. We just had an incredible explosion just right off the side of the Royal Star here. Good news is our weather improved dramatically today. That big giant swell yesterday has pretty much dissipated, and lighter winds, and so it's actually just gorgeous weather right now. We had a little better bite this morning and some nice ones. Yesterday afternoon, right after I talked to you, though, the big fish on the boat right now, Mark Lorman, 227 on the kite. Like I said yesterday, most of our bites have been coming on the kite, either the live flyer or the puffer fish, something like that. I got one on the puffer fish this morning in the dark, like 130, 140, something like that, on the new prototype Therese and Talica 50. What a winch that thing is, and that rod is incredible. I can't wait for him to introduce that rod. I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag there too soon, but if so, sorry about that, Robbie. But anyway, we got a couple fish going right here. And like I say, Mike Hines been doing really well on the sardine this morning. Stuart Ekstahl caught a nice 100-pounder on the butterfly in the dark this morning. We had two fish that were just absolute mean fish this morning. I mean, these hurricane bankers, some of these things are just so mean. And Terry Mines had a 195 that just didn't want to give up. He caught it on a fly line puffer right at daylight, and took him well over an hour and a half to bring that fish in. And it was it came up the gaff twice, got gas in him twice, and just absolutely exploded. I got some pretty good video that hopefully will come out, and I can get it on our YouTube channel on that. But the big news is Steve Pazel. Yesterday I failed to mention Steve Pazel, who's a friend of mine, and first time on a long range trip. First time on a trip over a day and a half. Yesterday he had one of the kites that was like 130, 140, personal best for him.
Nice.
And this morning he fettered that. This morning was another one of those mean hurricane fish on a big Tiagra 80. 182 this morning for Steve Pazel.
All right, congratulations.
He's got a smile about 14 feet long right now. It's not wide open. It's not, it's a pick bite, but, Captain Randy Toussaint, Captain Brian Sims, and the incredible crew here of the Royal Star doing a great job. And Aaron Barnhill on the Shogun, I'm not sure you've heard from him this weekend. He's sitting right next to us with our friend Jack on the boat, and they're doing pretty much the same as we are. They're literally just a few hundred feet away from us here on one end of the bank. So we're hoping for things to improve, although if it keeps on going, we're not doing too bad. I think our total yesterday was 14 or 15 fish, and I think we have already about 10 on the boat. 12 already this morning. So a little bit better fight, better weather, and I'll check in with you next Saturday when we're on our way back to Cabo to fly home on Sunday morning, and give you the wrap-up for the trip. But we'll see what happens here, how long we're going to stay here at Hurricane, whether we are able to hit the buffer zone. Apparently the buffer zone has been a little bit slow, but we may end up staying here. But you never know. It's fishing, and as you guys know, it changes every day. But we're eating well, we're fishing well, and we're having a great time aboard the Royal Star. The Let's Talk Hookup 11-day fly down, fly back is nothing like long-range fishing, as you know, Ricky. There's nothing like it.
No substitute for anything in the world. Well, Pete, if you're talking about that just being pick fishing with person after person after person with 130 to 180 pounders, I think we'll take that all day. Sounds like a great time. I'm really glad to hear things are going so well, and wish you continued success on the trip, and definitely cannot wait to hear from you next week on your way back from that trip.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Ricky. I talk about slow fishing, but there's very, very few small fish. I mean, you get the occasional 50, 60, 80 pounder, but almost every fish coming over the rail seems to be, you know, that 130 to 2 plus range. You know, we've had a couple of heartbreaks, but not too many. That's because of this amazing crew, you know, Paul and Blake and Ryan and Gerby and Captain Captain Toussaint is just unreal here. What a team. What a team.
They don't let him get away, do they?
No, they don't. They are right there with you. And that's you know, and you take a beginner guy like Steve, you know. He is like a you know, basically a beginner guy on a long range trip, and he's just absolutely impressed how much help. They're right there by your side, and they do not let you make mistakes. Because when you make mistakes on big fish, as you know, there's no mistakes that can be made. You got to be right there, and that's what the crew does for you there. So if you're thinking about a long-range trip, you're thinking you're not ready for a long trip, yes, you are. You are, because that's why, because they have just amazing crews on the coast, and that's the key to it. So thanks, Rick. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for covering. Have a great day at the docks. Have a great time there, and we'll check in with you next Saturday.
All right, Pete. Well, good luck. Good luck. I hope you guys have great fishing, great continued success. And speaking of being prepared and first time and catching big ones, we're going to let you go now, but we're going to very reluctantly, Bart Hall grabbed Mia as she was walking down, trying to head back to the booth. So we're going to see if we can twist her arm to tell us about her first long-range experience, too. All right, Pete, appreciate the phone call very much. I know this was a bombardment because Bart just saw Mia walking out of the dock and basically grabbed her and said, there's no way you're not walking by without telling us at least a quick story. Now, you just came back from your first long-range trip ever with Dad John Petty, who obviously we all know, the goldsmith, and makes the fantastic fish jewelry that you always see at Fred Hall Show and everything. So first trip in the books now. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, yep. It was amazing.
And you were on the Royal Polaris,
yep.
And it was a fly-down, fly-back long-range trip. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, Roy Rose, you probably don't know, but Roy Rose called us from the boat to talk about how great the fishing was and told us a little bit about the great success that you had. But real quick, what was your biggest fish before going on your first long-range trip on the Royal Polaris?
My biggest tuna was 25 pounds.
25 pounds. And now that you've been on that trip, having never caught a big one before, what's your new personal biggest tuna fish?
231 pounds.
How cool is that? Which, and this was your first time ever going before, never pulled on a big one. So for all the people that are out there that have never gone before, and I'm sure a lot of people just like yourself, I don't know if I'm going to take a big one. And Roy was even telling us a story that at the first you didn't really want to get in the mix because you didn't want to be in the way. And then after coaching and all the people on the long range trip, they make it so that it's just it's an easy atmosphere. And I heard by the end you were elbow to elbow with every guy and catching big ones.
Yeah.
And was it a fun experience?
It was awesome. It was. I want to go back next year.
That's I know that was the first thing that Bart said was that you had already told Dad, like, I'm ready. I want this spot every year from here on out. There's nothing like that experience. And perfect example, me. I know you, like you said, you'd never done it before, and smooth, no problems, easy to do. Crew helps you every step of the way.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on your fish. We're really excited for you. Ro told us the whole story of having your first big one, you know, that was bigger than any fish you'd caught before, and then your first 100-pounder, and then later on your first 200-pounder. And congratulations again on your personal best, 231?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. So what was it like? What was the give us a quick rundown of what fighting that big giant fish was like.
It was intense, but I just used the rail and sat on the rod. I think my adrenaline kicked in, so it was good.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations. We're all very happy for you and stoked for John and you, and I'm really, really glad that it went as smooth as it did. And congratulations on your big fish.
Thank you
awesome.
Very much.
You got to wait. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great catch reports. We're going to hear from Steve Crook, going to tell us about the sardine issue that's going on, all kinds of great stuff. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Mighty 1090.
Doing business with the right company always pays off, and JobSite Supply is that kind of company, selling commercial contractor supplies since 1987. JobSite Supply specializes in the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing trades with lines like Unistrut, the original metal framing system featuring the unique webless connection. Unistrut metal framing is the time and money-saving alternative to conventional support methods. Come see the largest supply of Unistrut at JobSite Supply. Check JobSiteSupplyCo.com for more details.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar of the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
If you are ready to experience a real Alaska fishing adventure, check out Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. The calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large towns, so you will enjoy a wilderness adventure without any crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there is no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Whaler's Cove also offers fantastic freshwater fishing in wilderness streams for wild salmon and trout. The Whaler's Cove experience will fulfill your wildest Alaska dreams on the calm water of the Inside Passage or on a spectacular stream. It's your choice every day at the Whaler's Cove Lodge. After fishing, you will dine on fabulous meals created daily by the Whaler's Cove chefs and relax in your comfortable room or cabin. Learn more about this exciting Alaska destination on their website at whalerscovelodge.com or call 800-423-3123. Whaler's Cove Lodge, a real Alaskan fishing adventure.
Are you feeling that itch to get out on the water? Come fishing on the American Angler and reacquaint yourself with some familiar faces and make new friends. Captain owners Brian Kiyohara and Sam Patella take pride in every aspect of the American Angler operation, from their loyal and trusted crew to the sashimi-grade fresh fish you'll take home. It's easy to find a vacation that fits your schedule. We have everything from day and a half to 10-day trips and longer. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. We want you to become a part of the American Angler family.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090, live here at Day at the Docks. Having a great time. We got a great little studio audience. As I said, the Day at the Docks is on and happening right now. Lots of great booths getting set up, and I see lots of tackle going on. And one of the very best booths for sure to find a deal right now is that Friends Arala booth. We got the man, Jim Holden, is hanging with us real quick. Jim, good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. You bet, and I'll tell you, if you're not here, get here. We got plenty of rods, reels, killer deals. And all the proceeds go to help get more kids out fishing.
And that's it. That's the beauty of Friends of Rollo, is every dollar raised, it's going to put kids on the water, and that's exactly what you guys do.
That's it. Hey, we've got some cool things coming up. Next weekend, kids fish free. First 200 kids fish free at Irvine Lake. Gates open at 6, so that's a cool event. We'll have free lunch. Yeah, got that May 9th, the first Fish for Life trip of the year out of Dana Wharf, sponsored by the Dana Wharf. That's cool. If you have a special needs child, get in touch. We'll get them out in the water. And then on June 16th, we still have some spots available on the Tuna Wars. And this is, we got Captain Paul Hebert and Dave Marciano from the Wicked Tuna coming out. Paul's going to be on the Tribute. Dave's going to be on the Eclipse. It's a leave on a Tuesday, the 16th, returning on the 18th. $1,000 a head, and the proceeds go to help Friends of Raleigh.
And you can still choose which boat you want to
right now.
Sure.
But those spots are filling. Sure. If you're interested, get on it right now.
That's all very right? Cool. Awesome. And we'll look forward to seeing you. I know you guys got all kinds of stuff going on. What kind of goodies can we look forward to at the booth today?
Oh, man, we got some great all kinds of rods and reels primarily. And then we got the Spin the Wheel that starts shortly, where you can spin and win all kinds of cool gifts, plus get into a raffle that we're picking today for a real nice rod and some Costa sunglasses.
And we talk about all the time, people donate rods and reels to Friends of Rollo all the time when they're cleaning out their garage, or maybe they upgraded to the brand new Trinidad instead of the older Trinidad, and those people donate those to Friends of Rollo, and those are available here for purchase. So you're selling rods and reels that have been donated to Friends of Rollo, and somebody else can get a great deal and put that rod back into use.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you have old equipment you're not using, give it to us. Let us have that. We'll turn that into funds. Get more kids out fishing.
There you go. Awesome, Jim. Great job. Right. Appreciate that very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you real soon. Hey, we're going to go on the water right now. We got the man, your saltwater guide, Dave Hansen, is on the line. Today, that report, sponsored part by Gamakatsu Hooks, Japan's leading fish hook that sets the standard for quality and innovation, strength and durability. The big fish season is on right now, and that Gamakatsu Super Nautilus hook is the one putting the big fish on the deck. I know that Pete brought him on his trip on the Royal Star right now because it's the hook that has the strength and durability to help you catch your fish of a lifetime. Get Gamakatsu Super Nautilus hooks at your your favorite tackle store, and be sure to take advantage of those great deals going on today at Day at the Docks. And let's talk to the man, Dave Hansen's on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, I'm back here on the backside of Catalina today, Ricky, and it is gorgeous. Sun's out, little tiny bit of wind on the water, just enough to keep the flies off. But hey, guys, it has been a phenomenal week of fishing. I've been out for the last 6 days straight and started out in Dana Point fishing calico bass there back on Monday or Tuesday, I can't even remember. And it was very good bass fishing. Then the next day we were rock cod fishing off of Dana Point. Phenomenal rock cod fishing. Then San Clemente Island for 2 days. Excellent yellowtail fishing and calico bass fishing over at Clemente. Excellent fishing. And then Catalina yesterday and today, phenomenal yellowtail and big calico bass fishing all over the island. All you got to do is find a little bit of condition. The fishing is epic. It's wonderful springtime fishing, guys. If you're not fishing right now, like I've been saying the whole winter and into the spring, there's no reason in the world not to be fishing. Fish are biting everywhere. You got to get out on the water.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well said, David. Certainly great to hear that such good fishing going on up and down the beach. Now, I know as summer gets going, you get busier and busier, but this is a great time to schedule a trip for you to go fishing on somebody's boat and kind of show them the ways to do it.
Yes, it is, Rick. And I would say, guys, if you're thinking about getting me out with you, you better hurry. I'm working every single day right now. The days are just blended into each other. So if you're thinking you're tired of not catching and you want to start catching on your boat, give me a call at 949-374-0786. I know your day at the docks and your time's precious, so get back to work, Rick.
Hey, appreciate it very much, brother. Great job. Appreciate that. Great report, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week, Dave.
All right, guys. See you later. I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Well, if you want to keep up on great information like Dave giving us there, it's that fishdope.com report, and certainly great to have him on there. And if you want to stay up with what's going on at Fish Dope, there's a couple of ways you can do it. First off, you can come right down to Day at the Docks today. I know the guys from Fish Dope are here signing people up, showing everybody how to use the website. And if you want to save $20 on a new membership, there's a brand new membership code, and as you're checking out, LTHU 2015. Let's Talk Hookup 2015 is just the first letters. Again, LTHU 2015, no spaces and all in lowercase. That's going to save you $20 on a new membership to fishdope.com. Dave, again, appreciate it very much, and we will look forward to talking to you soon. Again, we got a little bonus report. Captain Steve from the Commander is on the line right now. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. I know we heard from Mark there yesterday. Sounds like you guys have been into some great yellowtail fishing while you're running up out of Long Beach area. Is that continuing to go on?
Oh, absolutely. Just like Dave said, the fishing at Clemente is absolutely epic. It's only April, and there's such a huge, huge volume of yellowtail pretty much all over the island. Both ends of the island are the main spots, but there's yellowtail all over that island. And we're starting to see a little better action. They're starting to come up and eat the surface plug a little bit. Skyline sardines. It's getting really, really fun.
Awesome. Awesome news. Well, and certainly good fishing to be going on. And for this early in the year, it's really great to see that the new boat is working out as well as it has for you guys, and you're putting her to the potential that she was built for. And, Steve, how long are you guys going to be up in Long Beach? I mean, these are going to be continuing to run before you come back down to San Diego here?
I think the tentative plan is go back down to San Diego out of Fisherman's Landing right after July 4th. But it all depends on fishing, really. If fishing is good up the beach, you know, up here in Long Beach and the islands and all that offshore, there might not be a reason to bring it back down to San Diego. We might just stay up in Long Beach all year.
Hey, wide open fishing like that, I wouldn't see any reason to move now, that's for sure. If somebody wants to join you, get in on this good yellowtail fishing, Steve, how do we do that to go fishing aboard the Commander?
Book online at longbeachsportfishing.com. During the week, on Tuesday night fishing Wednesday, we do a one-day trip, but every other trip we have, Wednesday night for Thursday, Friday night for Saturday, and Sunday night for Monday, we're doing day and a half trips. And people are really, really digging the day and a half trips. They're able to fish the yellowtail all morning long and into the early afternoon. And then later on, when the yellowtail conditions kind of slow down, we go inside the island, pick off some of those gigantic San Clemente calico bass. We caught probably 60 or 70 on this last trip, all 3 to 5 pounds. And it was this epic, epic big calico bass fishing.
Sounds great, Steve. We'll certainly appreciate you keeping us up to date with what's going on at the island. I'm glad to hear the Commander's doing so well up there, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again real soon.
All right, thanks, Rick. Take it easy.
All right, appreciate that, Steve. Thanks a lot for that report. We're going to jump back into the audience. Pablo, you still hanging with us this morning? Pablo, I know you had a question here for our stand-up microphone. Good morning.
Good morning.
See you at Day at the Docks this morning.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Question. I was reading a magazine about they're going to stop the commercial catch of sardines. Is that something that's going to really happen?
Well, that's exactly why, and I saw that that's what you want to talk about, and the reason I had to come up now is that's exactly why we had the guy sitting next to me on now, Steve Crook, who Steve, I know, has kind of always been one of the guys that's always got our back anytime there's a DFG thing going on. And I know you sit, is it on the Pacific Marine Fisheries Council? Is that the meeting that you just were had attended?
Yeah, the Pacific Fisheries Management Council met this week to discuss the sardine fishery for next year. And I'm on the advisory subpanel, which is composed of commercial interests and also the recreational anglers. So the sardine population is below 150,000 tons right now, which precludes any directed commercial fishing. It allows for tribal take of sardines of 1,000 tons, of 4,000 tons of incidental take by commercial fishermen in mixed loads like sardines and things like that. And the bait fishery can take up to 2,000 tons. So for 2015-16, the bait fishery is in great shape for Southern California. What's nice about it is that the sardine fishery, overfishing is not occurring right now, which is really one of the key points, and the stock is not overfished. Mm-hmm. What they're up against right now is they had four or five missing year classes. So reproduction's been very low because prior to this warm water, we had 3 or 4 years of cold water, and they don't do very good reproducing during that time period. So from the recreational angler standpoint, 2015-16 looks like a very, you know, like they'll have all the bait that they need. So
yeah, I know, Pablo,
nice.
I was the same as you. You know, you read the articles and not knowing one way or the other, you know, the bait situation was certainly a concern. A lot of people saw that, you know, sardine is going to be closed and so no more fishing. But Steve, as you mentioned, that is going to have virtually zero effect on Everingham Brothers being able to provide that awesome live bait for us.
It shouldn't impact them. That's correct.
Yeah, great.
And you said the sardine stock is in healthy supply, and there's good bait coming, and we're in a good spot.
It's not at the point where you would like to see it because it's dropped from 1.5 million tons to below 150,000 in 7 or 8 years, I believe. Most of that's been driven by the environment, not from fishing.
Mm-hmm. And thank you.
Pablo, appreciate that very much. Thanks for coming up. How about Kevin? Kevin, I know you're standing by here. Kevin, come on up to the microphone here. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Just to follow up on that, with the warmer water starting out this year, how is the bait going to fare in the bay receivers in the warmer water and a...
Sure. Obviously, being a retired biologist, this is, again, perfect right up your alley, Steve. How, obviously, warm water year that we're having, things have already started out earlier than normal. Bait, how is that sardine affected by the warmer waters?
Well, the sardine won't be affected as much as the anchovies. I'm certain most people know that. The anchovies are a little colder water species, and they tolerate warm water much less than sardines. It's difficult to tell, how warm the water in the bays will get because sardines start having issues when you get above 75, 78 degrees. So, and also in those bays, you know, they're confined. The circulation isn't that good except for San Diego Bay. So oxygen becomes an issue too.
I'll tell you the one thing that we definitely have going for us, Kevin, is Everingham Brothers is definitely not, they're, One, we're so lucky to have them, obviously, because they're the best bait haulers around. But the thing that impresses me so much is they're definitely not the people that just sit there and let it happen. And, you know, like you talked about, you know, flow and things like that. They're constantly rebuilding, not only rebuilding the boxes, but redesigning their bait boxes just for exactly that, for increased flow. I know that the boxes have changed over in Mission Bay because the bay was a little more confined, and so they changed the way that they build the boxes for Mission Bay. They changed the way that they did the boxes in San Diego Bay. So the one thing we have going for us is that Everingham Brothers is in charge of our bait operation. So certainly the best as far as hauling and being able to catch and produce the bait, but also not just sitting back and letting things happen. So I know they definitely take steps to increase the flow inside the boxes, especially for these hot water years we've been having here as of late. So I think we're in good shape.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. How about we jump back onto the phones and talk to Rich, who's calling us from Bradley this morning. Rich, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
How you doing, Rich?
Oh, better than I deserve. While I was in hold, there was a little bit of discussion on seasick tablets. And, Rick, you'd mentioned that they thought that the compounding pharmacies would require you to get 100 tablets. And I've been getting mine from Central Coast Pharmacy Specialties, and my last prescription was for like 25 or 30 pills, so that's that might be a little bit helpful. And
yeah, that's
you
great.
Also mentioned you probably need to take it the night before, and the pharmacist at this pharmacy is a fisherman, and he said I should take it an hour to 2 hours before, and that's been working for me.
Well, you know what, Rich, that's certainly great information and certainly appreciated. I know, like you said, it's great to hear that these compounding pharmacies are in and being able to produce the Scopace tablets, because I know a lot of people were bummed when they were using that as their main source of a motion sickness medication.
Yeah, it's really been a godsend for me. I've been subject to it my whole life, just like Steve. And it just changed things to where I could get back out on the water a little bit more often with confidence.
Well, that's great.
Another thing is I'd called in about the collapse of the sardine fishery, which you've just recently been discussing. And we've seen the sardines go through cycles in the past. Back in the 50s, there was so much sardines that some of the party boats would give you a rain check if they didn't have sardines, if all they had was anchovies. And then they completely disappeared in the 70s, and then they came back again. So I'm wondering what Steve's take is on the effects of the shifting water currents and the effects of the sardine fishery, and does another part of the ecosystem kind of fill in and fill the niche of that forage base?
Well, according to the core samples that have been taken, and you know, that supposedly cover thousands of years of the up and down cycle, it's around a 30 to 35 year cycle. Sardines are up. Anchovies are down, sardines are down, anchovies are up. That certainly has been my experience in my lifetime. And then, of course, the famous Cannery Row period of Steinbeck and everything else, exaggerated the sardines going down anyway. We made it was going to be bad, and we made it really bad. And I do actually remember I hadn't seen a sardine for 10 years, and then we were on, maybe the Prowler, I don't know, some boat in the mid-1970s, and we were fishing with Lucky Joe's. There was no such thing as a sabiki then. And we caught some sardines, and it took everybody about 30 seconds. What are these things? We don't know. But hopefully the anchovies will take up the slack. Certainly there's some interesting water conditions going on out there that it's hard to even draw a parallel to previous right. years. They're just not the same.
Now, I think you kind of throw the book out.
Yeah, but the fact that we have this long-standing exemption for the live bait fishery, because 99% of the catch caught by the live bait fishery returns to the water, either in the form of hook bait or chum. So the exemption gives us, you know, a lot of leeway to play with. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that the Everingham brothers are going to have sardines find sardines to catch, but if we go back to anchovies, what you know the short version would be, I would say we're going to see an increase in the bonita, an increase in the barracuda, and dare I say it,
the A word,
an increase in the albacore.
That sounds
and you think that's man. because the anchovies are going to be more prevalent,
right?
Just not necessarily the bait itself, but just the condition that puts the bait here would be the same condition that would hopefully put the fish here.
You know, you think the fish kind of follow the feed, kind of like cows following a hay wagon.
Well, exactly. You know, there's a study done by Dr. Sarah Glazer of UC San Diego, who dissected 900 albacore stomachs. How'd you like to have been downwind from her office?
My goodness.
And she discovered that in our area, albacore eats 66 different kinds of food, which is pretty amazing, but 93% of it was anchovy.
There you go.
That pretty much tells you that.
There you go. Hey, Rich, appreciate the phone call very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks a lot for that. Dwayne, I know from the San Diego, I saw you just walking by and wanted to pull you in here. I know you've been a very busy guy. There was a couple of tournaments that the San Diego Anglers put on yesterday, one of which was the Big Top 25 Championship, which is, well, I'm sure you could tell it better than us, but they basically the top finishing teams of the big open bay bass all get together and have a battle royale for just the top 25, less people on the bay. And I know it was a very successful day. And how'd she go?
That's right. We invite the top 25 teams back from the Open Bay Bass Tournament every January. It's the best teams in the tournament there. We put $1,500 on the table again and say, go for it again. So who won this year was our second-place winner in January, the team of Michael and Joseph Israel. They got second place. They were beat, just a reminder, they were beat by Tony Souza in the kayak there. Anyway, they exacted their revenge, and they went out and they caught three bass, 10.57 pounds.
10.57 for three fish, yes. Inside San Diego
inside
Bay.
Inside San Diego Bay.
Wow.
And they won the big prize, so $750, and they beat out Ed Howerton and Nancy Ortiz. They had 9.13, and Ed sure did have a long face when they dumped those out, winning fish in the basket in front of him. But he got second place, 9.13. And then Brandon from the shop here, fishing with Dean Jameson, they got third place in 9.03.
So one-tenth of a pound, or one-hundredth of a pound separating the top two teams, or at least second and third. And I know how much would one have to feel with an over 9 pound average going into a three fish act that you've got, because 9 pounds that would have taken the big tournament this
year. That's right. 8.2 pounds took the big tournament this year. So all three of those weights would have won the $4,000 that we gave away in January.
Awesome. And I know that lots of good fun, and I know the club was always well represented. I know that the volunteers from the San Diego Club, we heard from Tom Gruber earlier this morning, are helping with the kids' fish pens outside.
We're just getting set up on that right now.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, anyways, we wanted to hear the results and certainly want to appreciate just another take another chance to say thanks to San Diego's Club. I know you guys donate so much time to fun events like these and doing an awesome job, and excited to hear the results from the Bay Bass Tournament.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Steve.
All right. I appreciate it, Dwayne. Hey, with that, we're going to grab another one of our live studio questions. Tom in San Diego is here. I know Tom's standing by in the live audience. Got a quick question for our stand-up microphone. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. First, I want to say hi to Steve. The first day at the docks I came to, I don't know, 10 years ago, I won a sumo jig for yo-yoing. I still have that thing. Hasn't caught anything, but I still love it.
Well, don't blame the jig. It's not the jig's fault it hasn't caught anything.
That's right. That's got to be the fish.
I've got sumo jigs in my bag that have probably caught 50 fish. So,
well, you know,
we'll balance that out.
I had a true question for you. By the way, my question was on the future. How do we individuals help the future sport fish? And I thought Bart spoke very eloquently to that about CCA, I think, is the biggest horse we can ride, okay, and after that, it's whatever we do.
Well, it was a mistake, we'll call it 15 years ago, when we really started to realize how things were shaping up. It was a mistake, and on my part, as much as anybody else's, we thought that the California then it was the Department of Fish and Game, now it's the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, we thought that they were the channel through which the work should be done. Well, the truth of the matter is they're just a go-along agency. Whatever the federal powers that be say is what it's going to be, California's just going to go right along with it. And CCA knows how to deal with the feds. I wish I did. Remember, April 15th was just a couple days ago. So I'm really bad at dealing with the feds. I want to work with somebody that is good at it.
You know, I think they are. I got to know them a little bit when I volunteered up at the Del Mar show to help sign up people. And I did talk to the head and also one of their lead lobbyists. They have a guy in Washington State who not only practiced law, but he was a member on both sides of the aisle. And that's what you need. You need a top-flight law firm to be able to lob shots back and then get in there. But my question was, you were talking about in yo-yoing, sometimes even the lightest jig works because you say it's quicker on the retrieve.
It's not so much lighter. If this is not a visual medium, but if you're talking about, say, a 6X Junior size or even a Christie 2 size, I happen to like both the Tatty 9 and the Sumo C2, they're pretty short. They're only, again...
Lighter in weight, yes.
Well, the problem with lightweight jigs is not that they don't work. It's just that they sink slower,
right.
And so you end up getting fewer drop and retrieves, less time in the strike zone, therefore less bites. It's not that a light jig doesn't work. Plenty of times I can recall that I ran out of heavy jigs for a variety of reasons and was forced to use light jigs. They work just as good in terms of getting bit, but, again, fewer opportunities because your lure is sinking quicker, sinking slower. And also, a lot of people think, well, wouldn't the light jig swim better
You know what? In yo-yoing, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Just a strike ratchet. And, Rick, yesterday, how opportune when Pete called in talking about the kite, and then about 20 seconds later, zing!
We talked about that all day. Pretty darn cool. There's nothing like the excitement on the deck of on a boat like that.
Keep up your good work, too.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it very much. Hey, how about next up, TJ from Lemon Grove? You still hanging with us, TJ? Appreciate you coming down to our live Day at the Docks broadcast here. What's up, TJ?
Morning, guys. Saw Rick up at the Fred Hall show. It looks like you didn't have 5 seconds to breathe. You're so busy. Last year, I went out on one of the boats here and met this gentleman who had a popping lure, topwater popping lure, and this thing was covered with teeth marks. So fast forward to today, I'm the proud owner of several different kinds of popping jigs, and I'm just looking to find out what kind of rod I can use to throw a spinning rod.
Well, actually, if you either attend one of my two seminars at, 12:30 on Long Range Stage, 2 o'clock on the Prowler, or you can just come right down here to the Penn Berkeley booth and talk to me before all that. I just moved it out of Rick's booth. I actually have a popping rod set up. That's one of the things I'm going to be talking about.
Excellent.
Poppers and jerk baits. So
excellent.
It's a lot of fun. It's the short version, like any kind of fishing. The longer rod casts better.
Right.
The shorter rod fights fish better.
Right.
And so
I'm looking for that medium.
It's up to you to be the human being that figures out what ends up being best for you personally. Because spinning tackle, the short version for me is spinning tackle is so much easier to cast with. And yes, there's nobody that likes a nice 10-foot surface iron rod better than me in that big bend. But with a spinning rod, everybody's an expert caster. You know, you don't even actually have to have a favorable wind. So therefore, go with a little bit shorter rod, give yourself some advantage in fighting the fish.
Right.
That's the short answer.
I have a setup already for throwing jigs, and I was just going to make sure I had another separate setup so I didn't have to be, you know.
Come over and take a look at what I've got set up there. And then, of course, the other thing is with throwing poppers with spinning reels, you're going straight braid. I literally use a 2-foot leader of 100-pound mono. Doesn't need to be fluorocarbon.
Okay.
And if you don't have 100-pound mono, use 80. If you don't have 80, use 130, because it doesn't matter. The 2 feet is really just for you handling it and also for dragging the fish around on the deck after you've landed him. The fish don't care. But when you have straight braid on your reel, and I wouldn't use anything under 65. A lot of times use 80. Once you get up to 100, you start to affect your castability.
Right, right.
So 65 or 80 does almost everything that we do. Any spinning reel casts a long way. I mean, it's ridiculous how much easier it makes your casting. You wonder why you waited so long to use a spinner.
I just got one in the mail yesterday, so I'm looking forward to it.
Come on over to the booth. I'll show you what I use, and we can talk a little bit about, you know, opportunities and hooks. And, yes, I do also have just about every popper that I have, I've got an equivalent version with no hooks on it. So that if we happen to go out and it's a wide-open boiling school of 12-pound yellowfin, I can have all the fun and I don't have to deal with them.
You have a favorite popper in your box?
I usually throw the Williamson Jet Popper in the smaller size.
I have some of those.
Yeah, and I'll convert those over with owner ST66 trebles if I want to catch the fish. The new owner inline singles are good if it's a mixture of throwback fish and keeper fish or really big fish. And again, I throw the hookless lure a lot. People make fun of me. Like, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing there with that lure with no hooks? After about 5 minutes, they're like, hey, do you have any of those? Have any extras of those with no hooks in them?
Cool.
You know, again, when you've caught your limit, don't forget what your limits are. And all of a sudden, you know, the fish are this big and you're on a multi-day trip.
Right.
And you just want the fun of getting 20 or 30 or 40 bites in one cast. A no-hook lure has a lot of good things about it.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate it very much. How about Rory? Rory, I know, was standing by in the audience. Rory's got a question here. Morning, Rory. Thanks for coming down today at the docks here and joining us.
Morning, Rick and Steve.
Hey, Rory.
I own all 10 reels.
Cool.
I've gone from the Squitter when I was 16 years old all the way to the Jig Masters. I have 4 aughts. I have 4 of them. I've got 3 6-aughts. I've got 1 9-aught. But that's not my question, okay? We have a problem. I understand that we are being limited to 2 bluefin per day on a boat.
Well, it hasn't gone into effect yet. So as of right now, the limits are still the same in California waters. There's not currently a limit There's still no take in Mexico as of right now. Hopefully that will change over soon. And they are expecting that two-fish limit to become a law and go into effect sometime in May.
Okay,
but
so
it has not happened yet.
So what does that mean? I mean, on a boat, what? I mean,
exactly that. You get two per day with a maximum of six per trip.
So what happens with the people that don't catch any fish? Or if everybody limits out, do you stop? And then now we got to go fish for a yellowtail? Or what do they do?
Just like every other fish that has a limit, once the limit has been reached, you start fishing for something else. You go look for kelp patty yellowtail. You high-five your buddies because you limited out and you head in early. You go do something. I mean, same. Nothing has changed, just the limit has changed from 10 fish down to 2 fish. I mean, it's everything else is business as usual.
Okay. And there's nothing that says that you have to keep the first fish.
Absolutely.
The first fish that you hook. If you got a mixed school of fish that are, you know, some are 15 pounds and some are 50, and maybe there's even 100 swimming around in there, and the first one you bring up looks like he's maybe 14 and a half, you may not want to do this with your best, most favorite expensive jig you just bought from Rick, but if you just got a 25-cent live bait hook, I guarantee you all the boats are going to have, they don't already have, are going to have some type of a little setup where they can cut the leader close to the fish's mouth and let them go. Nothing says you have to keep every fish you bring to the boat.
You got it, Roy. Appreciate it very much. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself. The AFCO clothing package, the tickets on the Daily Double, these great flyers from Baja Fish Gear. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
XSRF 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Padres are playing some kind of baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
This spring and summer, Angler Management continues to offer the finest 4- and 6-pack operation and great value. Angler Management Sport Fishing and Captain Bob Aronson have developed the ultimate charter operation aboard two fine boats. A 35-foot Cabo Yacht Sport Fisher for up to 6 anglers, or a 26-foot Scout for up to 4 anglers. Now you can catch everything from yellowtail to tuna aboard these magnificent boats. Come join the Let's Talk Hookup sponsor trips, or check out amsportfishing.com and book your own charter.
Meet the innovation award-winning Yamaha V6 offshore 4-strokes at 300, 250, and 225 horsepower. These Predators are up to 73 pounds lighter than the competition. And with class-leading 4.2-liter displacements, they're up to 19% faster and up to 17% more fuel-efficient at cruise RPM than comparable 4-strokes. And now they're available with Hellmaster, Yamaha's fully integrated boat control system. Meet the next generation of Yamaha V6 offshore 4-strokes today at your local Yamaha dealer. Hellmaster available with V6 is purchased only as part of new boat packages from boat builder partners.
For Rancho Leonero, here's John Ireland.
You know, it's interesting because the ranch has probably a higher percentage than most of the hotels of guests that don't fish. And it's nice on the beach. You've got the beautiful reef right in front of the hotel that you can dive on. And that swimming pool is right there hanging over the water. And it's a very popular spot as well. And the kids tend to bunch up and the wives tend to get to be friends. And what's happened over the years is a lot of families met down at the ranch and got to be friends and planned their vacations so they come down at the same time. We're kind of unique for the fact that I think we're really the last of the old Baja fishing style hotels. So we're proud of that, and we're going to hang on to that image. We're going to be around for the next couple decades at least.
At Rancho Leonero, we don't want to be bigger. We want to be better. We keep it simple, old Baja style. Rancho Leonero, we get a lot of guests that come back 2 or 3 times a year. RanchoLeonero.com.
Fish and Mission is the best way to get involved in the growing sport of kayak fishing. And Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay will host this great event every Sunday in April and May. Now you can take part in a kayak fishing trip with a professional guide and a top-of-the-line, fully outfitted 2015 Hobie Mirage Drive kayak. And kids are welcome too. A 5-hour fully guided kayak fishing trip on Mission Bay, including use of the latest model Hobie kayak, fishing gear, and more. It's Fish and Mission with Fast Lane Kayaks in Mission Bay. Easy to sign up online at fastlanesailing.com or call 619-222-0766. Sign up soon. They will sell out.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Ride the big winner of the half-day trip for two aboard the Daily Double out of Point Loma Sport Fishing for the callers on the phone. Went to Kalani in San Diego, and then the AFCO clothing performance package for all of our stand-up microphone guys, TJ in Lemon Grove. TJ, congratulations. You're going to love that AFCO prize pack. Steve, can't begin to thank you enough for taking the time. I know it was a very busy morning and not easy to pull you away for a couple hours, but we sure appreciate you taking the time to come hang with us for a couple hours and talk some fishing.
Well, it was great being here. You know, the only place I would have rather been than sitting here next to you would be being with Pete down on the Royal Star. That would be my number one choice.
I'm with you on that 100%. Well, sure appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you at the Berkeley booth. And again, two seminars today. You said one at 12:30 in the long range stage.
And one at 2 o'clock on the board the Prowler. Awesome. My old home away from home.
And when you're not there, hopefully we'll be able to bend your ear in the Berkeley and Penn booth.
You bet.
For a day of the docks.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Steve.
You.
Appreciate that. And hey, we got another couple of great shows coming for you. Next week, Saturday, Captain Art Taylor of the Searcher is going to be joining us. And then Sunday, Captain Ryan Boston of the San Diego. Going to be a couple of great guests next weekend. We'll look forward to talking to you there. And better yet, we'll look forward to talking to you today here at Day at the Docks. Lots of great stuff going on. Great deals, great seminars, and a lot of great fun. We'll see you here at Day at the Docks. Stay tuned now for Bike Week Radio. They're coming up next on the Mighty 1090.